We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We pray for our nation tonight, God. We pray for our military. We pray for our president. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our national leaders, our state leaders. And Lord, we pray for our local leaders. We pray for our mayor tonight. We pray for our city council. We pray, God, that you give them wisdom and guidance and understanding tonight as they make decisions concerning our city. We ask that you bless this time, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming out. I'd like to call the March 2nd, 2026 meeting to order. Motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion been made, Gregory seconded. Approve the minutes. Call the roll, please.
Allie.
Here.
Randall.
Yes.
Jim. Jim. Tony.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
And Teresa.
Yes.
Chamber. Chamber will speak.
Yeah, I put a sheet in front of everybody, so hopefully there's nothing going on in Lebanon Junction coming up in March, but there's lots of things going on that we would love for you all to come to. Dunkin' Donuts ribbon cutting is on the 9th, so everybody should come have donuts with us.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Library. Anybody
here
from the library?
She's not here.
She's not here tonight. Sign-in sheet. I have Miss Debbie Johnson.
Good evening, Mayor Dangerfield and members of City Council. I wanted to come here tonight to get a chance to meet you. I wanted to give you a little bit of information about myself because I am running for the Bullitt County Clerk, and I wanted to just give you a little bit about me. I've spent the last 20 years in a quasi-governmental organization, and I've worked directly with our ratepayers at that organization in human resources, operations, and finance. I've also owned rental property and managed rental property for the last 23 years, and I also have a Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership and Learning through U of L, and there is a concentration on leadership training and organizational development. And I have some vision for the position that I wanted to share with you real quick. First of all, I am very glad that the plan for this year's election is not to close the schools for early no excuse voting. And I did want to make you aware that that was my intention to not close the schools either if that hadn't changed in time. Also, with the Bullitt County election integrity, I have an extremely high priority to process, to make sure the process is efficient and ensure the transition to the new county clerk is flawless. And I want to also evaluate the financial feasibility of having satellite offices in areas of the county, even if it's just limited hours and limited days to start out. But one option I have that could also help Lebanon Junction is to have self-service kiosks in each library of Bullitt County. These locations would allow the customers to be able to pay their vehicle taxes and print registrations and stickers. I would like to put these in the libraries, and it may be a good alternative in case, you know, the satellite offices aren't feasible immediately. This would be good for people to be able to go outside office hours and get this done. One other thing I'd like to improve is customer service, and I'd like to leverage technology to do that, and innovation, and improve the customer service experience for the incoming calls, the renewal process, and evaluate alternatives for business hours also to make more flexibility for the customers. And lastly, I'd like to have quarterly meetings with local car dealerships, builders, and realtors to ensure high customer service standards are being met for the relationship with the clerk's office. And thank you for your time today. I am number 3 on the ballot, and I'm just asking for your vote on May 19th. Thank you.
Thank you. Dewey McMillan.
Well, folks, I want to thank everybody for the opportunity to come speak. I am Dewey Wayne McMillan, lifelong Bullitt County resident. I am running for jailer against the incumbent. I've been a union millwright for 26 years. I retired in 2012 from the local union. At that time, I went to work working at the jail. I have 10 years experience under the last three jailers. So I do have ample experience working. I've worked inside, outside. 3 years ago, well, actually 4 years ago, when Mr. Whitaker took office, he asked me to come start up his litter abatement program, which I did. I ran a litter abatement program throughout the county. I trained Mike, who is currently running it. Mike and I ran it, you know, consecutively all through my 3 years there with Brian. I'm a member of Calvary Christian Center. I feel that I am the most qualified candidate for this. Law enforcement experience does not come into play in the jail. Jail experience comes into play there. I've managed people through the union. I've been a union steward. I've been on multiple committees. I've worked in and out locally with all my different committees in Bullitt County, through my community ministries in Mount Washington, through the program y'all have here in Lebanon, passing out food. I've done that on my own time, not as an employee or anything like that. I've done it on my personal time. I continue to do that. I will continue to do that. There's a lot of things that I could go into detail on what I will do as jailer, but that's something that needs to be discussed during a forum instead of a me here with you is there, so it could be scuttled. But I do want to offer the employees at the Bullitt County Detention Center the opportunity to either get a merit system or get an FOP lodge where they have representation. Right now they have nothing to represent them, so it does not offer anybody the opportunity, if they disagree with what something said, to, hey, I fired you, you're gone. There's very little training, and I can vouch for that from my 3 years there. If you could consider training someone on a computer as training, I'm sorry, that's wrong. It takes hands-on experience to be qualified at what you do inside the jail. You know, I will continue all the programs that are there, plus I will implement several other programs. I have not picked a chief deputy, nor will I pick one till after I am elected, and then I would discuss, as Mr. Dangerfield and I talked, I would discuss with whoever my person is, because I wouldn't want to leave anybody shorthanded. Coming from a union background, I know how important it is to make sure that you have somebody to fill your shoes when you step a vacancy. So that's one thing that I definitely would do. I appreciate your time. Once again, my name is Dewey Wayne McMillan, and I would deeply appreciate any consent for election May the 19th. Thank you all.
Ms. Monica Merritt.
Hello. I'm Judge Monica Meredith. I've come to campaign, but a little bit more talk about the job, and I give everybody kind of what I call public service information on the job. First, I think most of you know, I don't want to go through an entire history. I've been deputy judge executive, I've been the county attorney, and I've been judge on my, I'm going into my eighth year right now for Fayette Court. It's a circuit of Division III. The first question I'm getting from lots of people out in the community is, why am I the only circuit court judge on the ballot? Well, I'd like to answer that for you. And have you helped me get that out to the public? If everybody thinks back, I can't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, but think back to 2018. In April, the Kentucky General Assembly decided that there were three new family court judges that needed to be put in immediately in Kentucky because of volume, caseload volume. It was the number one thing. I've got the copy of the article. I'm not going to hold it up and show you all. But basically, we had dockets and people backed up for 2 years waiting for decisions, etc. Bullitt County was number two out of those three, okay? So one went up north and went to Boone County and Gallatin, I think. And then Bullitt was the only standalone, and the other one's down more in central Kentucky, Rockcastle County, okay? So three new emergency judges were put in. And originally, I was supposed to serve 4 years because that finishes out an eight-year term. A circuit judge by the Constitution is 8 years. They're all supposed to run at the exact same time. And I was supposed to finish out 4 years and then run with everybody else, which would have been 4 years ago for an eight-year term, because that's what our terms are. That didn't happen because, like everything else in the world, I go to sign up to run to find out that one of the three judges actually sued the state of Kentucky and won. So now, forever, we are off cycle. All three of these jobs are off cycle until the General Assembly does something about it. So that's why it's hard to explain that to people, but that's why there are no other circuit court judges. We have two other, Judge Burris and Judge Spienheyer. They're not on the ballot, and I am, but that's why, okay? Judge Porter's district judge, she runs every 4 years, so she'll be on the ballot too, okay? But that's just the difference. The goal of the General Assembly when they set up the new jobs was basically to keep cases moving forward and have access to justice. Because if it takes 2 years and about a year worth of time to get into a courtroom to have a, just say you want to get divorced, and then another year to get your order, and I'm not saying that's the level Bullitt was up to, but close, okay? That's what the General Assembly wanted somebody to come in here and fix. I am by no means going to take credit for the numbers I'm about to give you, and I am by no means saying that we have maybe not learned as we went along and things have been tweaked and changed. Everybody knows how that goes. But I have two administrative assistants, both from Bullitt County, and everybody should be super happy and glad of these people because I absolutely cannot do this volume on my own, and most people don't understand what it means by volume, and I'm going to try to explain that as the election goes, but not today. But as far as moving cases forward, we have implemented the time, well, as soon as I came into court, we started using electronic filing. That's a big deal, folks, because it speeds up the process. It speeds up getting orders from everybody. Fortunately or unfortunately, depends on how you looked at it when you were the clerk at the time, but she loves it now, is I had to teach everybody how to do that because I've been doing that in federal court forever. So the state court was new, and when COVID hit, it became a plus, plus, plus for Bullitt. Because at the time, I think I was number three. I think I still am in the state on the leading electronic filers that there are. I file everything electronically. Daily can tell you, you don't see my handwriting on anything. Because, A, I can't read it. So why would I ask someone else to read it, okay? I type it. But what that has done, when that system goes in effect and we monitor like a big whiteboard, you know, of orders I've got out there to keep up with, my goal was, Judge Spienheyer was ordered by Chief Justice Minton then to transfer half her case volume to me. The rest of the cases, as they come in, automatically, if she was involved in a case, they get assigned to that division because she's already had the family. That's the purpose of family court, one family, one judge. So everybody else goes to me. So sometimes when you look at the incoming numbers, it kind of looks off, but it's really not because they work out because there's a built-in divide that's automatically going to go to Division 2. And we have worked to try to keep these numbers together. And I will have to say, I don't know that I'm the best in the state because they won't tell me. But I will show you this. There's a rare day when I'll stand up here and say it's good to be blue, if you may know what I'm talking about. But these are a graph, and you're going to see more of these as the months go on. This is through the entire time I've been on the bench through December 31st, the year that just passed. These are the state numbers, so everybody can see. Family court statewide. The blue are cases that are 90 days or less, and that's supposed to be the goal, especially with juvenile cases, is to get these things in, get these things out. The more red you see, all the way around, it's not so great, okay? So the state, if you look at statewide, 90% or less is 20%. Make it 180 days or less, you add on another 13, so that's 33% of the states, that's how long it takes, that's when the cases are at. If you go to this middle section, that's us. We're the Green River region. You can see just by looking that the blue, there's a lot more blue because overall we're doing a lot better than the state, okay? This is my numbers, and when I say my numbers, my people's numbers, because Lord knows I cannot do all this without them. We are three times better than the state number. And I'm more than twice, almost three times better in some categories than Green River. Does that mean that it's perfect? No. But it does mean exactly what the General Assembly asked us to do is being done. Cases are moving through. People are having access to hearings. Doesn't mean they're going to like the decisions, but we are moving them forward. Why this is key, when we went into COVID, everybody knows the whole world shut down in 5 seconds. Well, what most people don't realize is the court system in Kentucky, almost came to a screeching halt because we found out that no court system in the entire Commonwealth has the same exact program. So literally, judges got on video chats with each other, and we wired things up and made it work. And then the state bought new software, and it's come in, and we have what's called hybrid court now. We're actually under order from the Supremes to have hybrid court, which brings me to my second thing that I wanted to talk about. I'm hearing a lot out in the public, people going, well, you don't let people come to your courtroom. They have to come electronic. Totally not true. I am enforcing the rule that the Kentucky Supreme Court has said that you have to have a hybrid option. Period. The end. That's the rule. You can come in person now, or you can come in electronically. That's the law, folks. You can buy yourself a permanent ticket coming in person if your behavior grants that, okay? Or if someone asks for everybody to be there, you can come in. But people have their choice. Some people want to come. Some people don't want to come. I am not going to ask people that I'm saying keep your job so you can support your family because the children are an issue here to leave work, to drive down here to set 5 hours when you can simply wait wherever you're at and be able to do what you're doing and come in. So please help me put that down. Also during COVID, the hybrid came about. The court started counting cases, okay? And just to let you all know, what the court counts as a case in front of a judge a year is how many, if the person appears in front of you, whether it's 5 minutes or 15 hours, okay, whatever number it is. When I first started this job in 2019, I had 3,615 hearings a year, period. The highest number I've had after COVID has been 5,806. So that's the volume that's gone up. Everybody talks about everybody's attitudes. Their civility has changed since COVID. I think that's kind of some empirical documentation on it. The state started a JSS during this time, which is basically a trained support staff now that my office has that trains everybody on how to do electronic stuff, etc. They started a newsletter. The first newsletter in COVID featured Bullitt County, featured my office. And Ms. Gish lives right here in Bullitt County, and she has trained almost the entire state on this stuff, y'all, and still does. Okay, so when I tell you, we have the best people. I'm not joking, and we're very lucky to have them. Okay, and I'll get more into it as time goes on. But just to let you all know, we have done what the General Assembly's asked us to do, and stayed on top of the game. Okay, thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Joe Rahill, you like to say something?
Hey guys, doing the if you don't know me, I'm Joe Radio. I'm running for 4th District Magistrate. I was 8 years before, so we've done a lot of work down here. I'd like to have your vote. Anybody got any questions? Thank you guys so much.
When I seen the sign-in, sheet and I got to looking at it, and it's all about campaign. So I know, Joe, you didn't sign it, so that's the reason I want to reach out to you. Same as Jenny over here. If you'd like to speak, you can. You didn't sign it, but
is that okay?
I'm more than happy to let you talk.
I didn't sign up, but I just would like to thank you all for coming tonight. It's encouraging to me to see more people in these meetings, and it's encouraging that, you know, we can come and we can give our opinions and hear what is going on. And I've enjoyed my time on council, and now looking running for mayor 2027.
Well,
7.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. All right, we'll move right along here. Sign-in sheet. Matt, got you on the next. The bid tabulations from the project we have going.
Yep. So I just wanted to give you guys an update. Last month we received bids before the council meeting. We didn't have previous experience with the contractors. Last month, we've done due diligence on that, checking that. Essentially, we did not find any reason to disqualify them as the low, best, most responsive bidder. So our recommendation to the council is to approve their bid, and there's a couple other conditional approvals here I wanted just to walk through. Like we had discussed last month, this is one of those projects in which the ratepayers of Lebanon Junction are paying nothing for infrastructure. It's being completely borne by a developer. They'll be extending an 8-inch water main along Preston Highway toward I-65. So the city has already entered into a memorandum of agreement with the Lynn Gas Inc. That first MOA was to pay for the soft cost of design and bidding up front. Now what I need a conditional approval of the council so moved to do so is the first amendment of the MOA. That first amendment, what it does is sets in place based upon the bids received of $234,908.40. I'm getting to the point I need readers, so I'm sorry. That they're going to put that money in escrow that's in an account controlled by the city, so that project can move forward. I've got it now. I've got to focus my eyes here a little bit. So that's the first amendment MOA that would be for your guys' interest in approving. The second item is the recapture agreement. This is very much the same thing that was done for the Park South development. What this allows is the developer puts the money up for the infrastructure. It sets a time frame of 10 years for them to recapture, not be made 100% whole, but prorated based upon any future development that may connect to that line. It makes sure that all the developers are paying their fair share. Again, no effect upon the ratepayers. So that's the second thing. Then the third thing would be, if those first two things are approved, the third would be notice of award of the contract authorizing Mayor Dangerfield to sign that once funds are received and placed in escrow account at the city. And then the fourth would be enter into a contract with the low bidder, who is Trademark Excavating Company out of Bardstown. I was trying to be quick, Teresa.
So are these of a nature need to be voted on separately?
I don't know if they can be all together or separately. You know I'm going to write.
I know.
Let's just vote on separately. Tell us the first one again.
So the first thing that I'm asking, or Bluegrass is asking for the council's approval on, would be the first amendment of the MOA between the city and Lynn.
That's to move the money into a staging or into an account.
That's correct.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion been made, ready to second to approve this amendment. All in favor, call the roll.
Jim?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Randall?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
And Teresa?
Yes.
And the second thing is the recapture agreement, which is the mechanism that allows Lynn to recapture a portion, a prorated portion, of their expenses for 10 years.
I make a motion to accept.
Make a motion to accept. Second.
I'll second.
Seconded. Motion been made, ready to second. Any more discussion? Sarah, call the roll, please.
All right. Tony?
Yes.
Randall?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
And Teresa?
Yes.
Thank you.
And then the third was notice of award and then the contract authorizing Mayor Dangerfield to sign those on behalf of the city council.
Yeah. I'd like to make that motion to have Larry sign the contract.
Second.
Motion been made, ready to second. Any more discussion? Sarah, call the roll, please.
Okay. Tony?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Randall?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
And Jim?
Yes.
That's all I've got.
So you got the fourth one, too?
Well, I combined the third and fourth one on you. I did notice award contract since they're contractual. They only gave me a nod, so
yeah.
I went with
it.
That was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got everything you need, right?
Yeah.
Except for glasses, you got everything you need.
I'm fighting it. I've been fighting it for a couple of years. I've had the same. I'm essentially legally blind without contacts. And so I had to upgrade those, and now my doctor's just been.
Thank you, man.
Oh, I've got contacts. They're a little foggy right now. Let me get new to her. You see me, Lane?
Is it one contact and glasses, or?
No, I go both and just go light readers.
Thank
sucks,
you,
man. You know,
and as far as the As far as running that camera we talked about, we'll discuss that later.
Yeah, yes.
It's a whole different issue.
Yeah, okay. We'll discuss that. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, thank you. Next, we will have a second reading on Ordinance 2026-01.
Ordinance number 2026-01, an ordinance establishing the compensation for the mayor of the city of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky. Be it ordained by the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt, Kentucky, County, Kentucky, as follows. Section 1, the compensation for the mayor when he or she begins their term of office on January 1st, 2027, shall be the sum of $2,000 per month. Section 2, all ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict with this ordinance or any part of this ordinance are hereby repealed. Section 3, should any section, clause, line, paragraph, or part of this ordinance be held unconstitutional or invalid for any reason, the same shall not affect the remainder of this ordinance. Given the first reading at the regular meeting of the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, on the second day of February 2026, given second reading and voted upon at a regular meeting of the City Council of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, on the second day of March 2026.
You've heard the second reading of 2026-01.
I'll make a motion for you to second the reading.
I'll second.
Motion's been made, regular second, to accept 2026-01. Sarah, call the roll.
Randall.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
Allie.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
And Teresa.
Yes.
We will now have the second reading of 2026-02 ordinance.
Ordinance number 2026-02, an ordinance establishing the compensation for the city council persons of the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky. Be it ordained by the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, as follows. Section 1, the compensation for the members of the City Council when they begin their term of office on January 1st, 2027, shall be as follows. The compensation for a City Council person shall be the sum of $200 per month. Section 2, all ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict with this ordinance or any part of this ordinance are hereby repealed. Section 3, should any section, clause, line, paragraph, or part of this ordinance be held unconstitutional or invalid for any reason, the same shall not affect the remainder of this ordinance. Given first reading at the regular meeting of the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, on the second day of February 2026, given second reading and voted upon at a regular meeting of the City Council of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, on the second day of March 2026.
For the second reading of Ordinance 2026-02.
Motion to move forward.
Motion.
Second.
Motion been made, regularly seconded. Sarah, call the roll.
Allie.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Randall.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
And Tim.
Yes.
Thank you all. Moving on, just a tidbit of information. The new salt spreader we got in is installed and working properly. Thank goodness we don't need it in this kind of weather, but you never know. So the last one broke and we're fixing the other one, so we'll have a backup for the other truck also as well. Any discussion on that? We talked about it. All righty. New business. Justin up here, the sound of that furnace kicked in. He's back there going to turn it down. So I'll try to talk a little bit louder until it shuts off. Political signs. That's been come to my attention. Several people have called and asked about putting up the signs. And in doing so, I looked into our ordinance, which we have none, as far as the city goes, as far as time frame. We had the mayor's meeting that we have every other month. I was at that the other night. And all the mayors said the same thing. A few had ordinances, and the ordinances adopted was the same as it is for the KRS. So the KRS has its own rules, and in doing so, I brought it up. So they asked, where does this sign, that sign, and people called me. So I want to bring it up to y'all's attention as a council that we do not have in place an ordinance such as Mount Washington has. Talked to Hillview, Owen Taylor, and all of them. So. Anyway, but we are in a position to where if we do not have an ordinance,
then can we defer to the KRS 381.800, which basically says that signs shall be displayed no earlier than 30 days before any special primary or regular election and no later than 7 days after that election, unless a longer time period is provided by local ordinance, which we don't have. So we would defer to the 30 days before and the 7 days after, unless you guys wanted to make your own ordinance.
So if that's my question to you all, we can live by the KRS, which is ultimately there, all ready to be used. And the ordinances that I've seen in place with the other ones is almost identical to what the state has. So do y'all want to spend the time, the effort, the money to make an ordinance, or just assume the fact that we will stick to the KRS?
I don't see any reason to put something on the books that's already on KRS and we're following it. So I've said no. We leave it alone.
I agree with Tim.
So I'm going to ask that we make a motion and second and vote on the fact that we will stick to that, and that way it's agreeable amongst everybody here.
Motion.
Seconded.
To stay with the KRS and not pursue the fact of getting the ordinance individually that we already covered by in the KRS as it is. Call a roll, Sarah, please.
Allie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Randall?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
And Teresa stepped out.
Okay. So that tells us that 30 days before the election in May, we can put the signs out. 7 days afterwards, pretty obvious. It's understanding that we stick to that. And like I say, people have been calling and asking and putting up a few here and there, and it's not legitimate as of this time. And so I was also asked, how do we enforce that? Well, we will go to the person, not the individual who's got a sign in her yard, but we'll go to the person who campaigned and bought the signs and has them put out for that purpose and have them have them get them back up. Any more discussion? Joe?
Is that private houses or right-of-ways? That's everything in city limits?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. And like I say, it's the same as in the fall, and it's always become an issue in the fall where they're out late, I mean, too early, and the people mowing grass around them and everything else, and 30 days is seems ample enough. And like I say, the other cities that I've talked to, the other mayors are on board with this.
I don't know why they put them out early.
Right, and I mean, do what, Joe?
I don't know why they picked on you.
He's just telling on himself.
All right.
At least you're honest, Joe.
All right.
I'm just anxious to get back, guys.
There you go. Well, and the next thing on.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Next thing is the online portal for paying utility bills is now active. You can visit the city website for more information and update a little bit on that. And the council here already knows we've been a long time in the endeavor since we took on Redline and a reprogramming and trying to revamp our system with all the new computers and the data we've had at our installed and been using. It's been going on now for quite a while. So we started out with the four key notes was, first of all, if we changed over to the water bill system, which really helped the city, and that's been done now for a while. We got all the bugs worked out of it. It works perfect. Then we proceeded on with the same programs and the people, although we had to take in another program and also to get the tax bills ourselves. We've handled that now. And the occupational, which has really took a lot of pressure off of the ladies in the office as far as in the computer and the system. Last but not least, we pushed the button on it. And it's a red line had to set up all along, just waiting for us to get prepared for it and get all the stuff in. So we now would take credit cards and online payments. So I think y'all already knew all about that. So you got any questions
on
it?
To be a big deal.
Seemed to be working perfect. I was even commenting today, even though we have it, a lot of people wanted it and needed it, and it works for those who really did. Still, a world of people comes in and pays like they always did, bringing checks and cash and what have you. But they do have the opportunity to do it in a position to where they don't have to worry about it if they don't want to, and that will shut my daughter up. My daughter is one of my worst advocates on that. She said, Dad, it's the only thing I don't pay on my phone. That's all right. All right, we'll move on. Y'all got any questions on it? None? Okay. And back to the policy manual. We discussed that. Y'all see a paper in front of you there. And we got that together. Y'all had a committee on it. We worked on it. And we took it to Dalen, and he reviewed it, went over everything. And there were so many areas in it that we still were in discrepancy on as far as being 110%. So with KLC being our backing insurance, what have you, and everything, we reached out to them one more time, and you'll see where there's an agreement on there where they will go over it, redo it, add to it, whatever we need, if y'all want to proceed on with that. Our mindset is, and then talking with Dalen and some other ones, is if they're the ones that's going to have to bail us out if we're wrong, I thought their input would be graciously invited. And there's a cost factor to it also. So if we want them to proceed on with it, and it seems to be a good idea, it should take care of us for a long time and be of a nature that we can feel comfortable with.
So in my understanding, they will go over it and fine tweak it, and then will come back to us for final approval? Because I would like to have final approval.
Oh, yes.
I don't want them to have it.
Yes. No. No, they would have that, but they would compile it all. I mean, there were several hundred pages in what they sent us the first time.
I know, and there were some things that they sent that didn't apply to them.
Some things overkill to the town of our nature and our size and what have you, but then again, the least little thing that you could miss would be detrimental to our situation and cost us in the long run way more than it would be if they were the ones that helped us.
Well, you mentioned
KLC is a really good advocate to have in your pocket to help you.
You mentioned the cost. What's it going to cost us to have them do it?
Paper right there in front of you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's so much, and then you come down, professional fees, project, including necessary research, including two online meetings, are $6,000. Additional cost for travel are $232.58, which would be a total of $6,232.58, estimated still good through March 1st, 2026. So if it's something y'all want to proceed on with, any discussion?
I'll make a motion. We're going to do it as long as we have the final approval.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? Motion been made, regular second, to pursue it on with KLC, looking over and helping us to adopt what will be needed as far as our policy manual. Senator, call the roll.
Tim.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Randall.
Yes.
Allie.
Yes.
And Teresa stepped out.
We are going to put out the cemetery mowing bids for our new contract, and it's for a 2-year contract. It's that time. So we need to get it already, yes.
Yeah.
2 years flew by. So we're just going to go ahead and put that in the paper as we did last time. It'd be the same verbiage that we had last time, and it'd be for the 2 years, if that's good with y'all still.
You need a motion for that?
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt a thing.
I'll make a motion to put out a 2-year contract for the cemetery.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? Sarah, call the roll on that, please.
Randall.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
And Allie.
Yes.
Alrighty. Moving along. Terry?
Everything's going good. We had 132 runs for the month.
And I was talking to Jim the other day. He looked like he's going to be able to come back to work here for the next few weeks.
I was going
to
say probably about 2 more weeks.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yes. Right, that's good.
And he said you probably see him on the street a lot more
than that. Well, I seen him out this weekend for a few minutes.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot better. I mean, deaf in his family and heart surgery.
Yeah.
That's pretty good compiled.
That's a bunch to be piled on you.
Right. Is that all you got, Chief?
Yes.
Fire department, Adam, Chief.
30 calls for service last month. Going good.
Good. All right. Appreciate you. Hanging in there. did see pouring on that pipe that y'all wanted for the training purposes. I think we're going to make that. It's already down there. You might as well get it and use it. It's what I told him. I haven't seen you to discuss that since.
Okay.
But I told him to move forward with getting that, the old concrete pipes down there. They want to use some for some kind of training they're doing. They're laying there doing nothing.
Thank you.
Anything else you need down there for such a purpose, let me know.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Council, Tim.
No, I don't have anything. I think everything's in good shape. I'm good.
Okay. And I know generally you'll bring up the lights, and you haven't had to do that lately, but that's on my mind because you usually do. Terry's been marking them and getting them, and we've had several lights out through the cold weather, street lights and what have you. They've been fixing them pretty religiously. Tony?
Bring it up again. 61, coming in LJ. I'd be glad when they fix that road. Now the big old piece of concrete missed in that about a turnaround center. Like, you got to swerve around it to go across, you're going off the side. And then, I'm going to keep on harping on it until he fixes it.
I keep bringing it up. No, no. Like I said, it's a state highway. It's like tonight, 44 was on the news for all the wrecks and stuff. Yeah. It was a big article on there tonight. It's and what were bad roads already, it's falling apart even more with the weather conditions as they've
right.
been. But I too have been listening to them. We'll see where it goes. Randall?
The only thing I got is it's starting to warm up now. Maybe we should look at a date to rename that road down there.
I'll reach out to the family, see what she's good with, as far as there's vacations and what have you. Because, like I say, we got it all set up and ready, as we talked about it before. It's all about Miss Porter and her schedule's open and she feels like coming. Is that all you got, Randy?
Yeah.
Jim?
I seen the guys out, our guys out there patching up potholes and stuff like that. Appreciate all their hard work and everybody in the town too. About it.
All right, thank you. And the recycled bins still working out up there?
Looks like it is.
I seen Christy Royalty today, and we discussed the fact a little bit that they was up there being used. That's good. Glad you come up with the idea of putting them in school because there's a lot of houses up there.
I know they have glass on the front of it. It doesn't seem like you get much glass in there. I didn't think they would get more soup cans and stuff like that if they did cans.
Right. I know.
But up at the county, they combine glass and plastic together.
Really?
So I don't know why they don't do that in a trailer, too.
Right.
And then have
okay, anything else?
Just a thought. No, that's it.
Okay.
Yes, I want to ask a favor. All right. I would like to ask that you add some concrete to the sign thing so that a person could walk up to it. For instance, if I get off the grass, I could catch my cane in the grass and fall and hurt myself. Same way if I wasn't using that and was doing something else. And I just got to thinking that there may be other people who have a problem going through the grass right there. And then it might be nice if it had a little sidewalk in front of it so you could walk up and see what it said. And I can't do that at this point.
You're talking about the marquee sign?
Yeah,
in the
thing you just built.
Oh, you're talking about the veterans board.
Yeah, I'm talking about the veterans side. I can't. At this point, I can't walk in the grass, period. But I just thought it might be nice to have a little concrete.
I was going to say, if you get walking in the grass, call me. I'll go along with you.
I know. You don't want me to fall down.
No,
and I appreciate that.
More, no.
But
right, I mean, that's something to look into. And while we're touching base on that, also, the Veterans Board has been over here for so long, and people have written their names on it, what have you. It got faded, the glass faded. There's several issues about it that's been just faded and need to be redone. So our VFW merged with the VFW at Shepherdsville, and they took what money they had over there. And I'm saying this again, it's old news to you all. People hadn't heard it, and they had their money, and they was willing to. I got the work done. So we put new glass in it, we painted it all up, fixed it all, and still the handwritten names, which are still there, and we enclosed over them. We got the little brass plates with everybody's name and service, what we could get on there. There's close to 600 plates on there. And it was up $3,000 or so time you got all that done. We put an American flag on the back. I mean, it looks really, really
good. It does.
And the VFW paid for it all. with their money and what money was had. I think y'all actually had enough money.
Do I need to go and see the post commander over there and ask for that, or can I just ask the city council if we can?
No, I think you're there. But no, we look into that. That's not a bad idea if we can at least walk up to it. You know, nothing else, we put stepping stones or something.
Yeah, some kind of something that would be a little more secure than.
But he's actually reached out to me last week and said, when I was talking to him, Dave Dunford, at the VFW post commander, that he wants to come over. The weather's generating better season for everybody, and have something to get together for the fact that the sign has been redone and our veterans are being acknowledged on that board, and it looks great. It just does. It's not something elaborate and huge like you would see in some areas, but for what we got, respect is being paid to the veterans. I think it's awesome myself.
It is. It really is.
All right, so that's all the council. One last thing I'd like to mention is, the festival committee is working diligently trying to get everything together for the weather breaking and what's happening, get ready to start. And we'll let y'all know more about that as time goes on. If anybody knows about it, can on the festival. And last but not least, I seen 4 school buses in town at one time. So I like to say that some of that has been Dallas Harshfield has done wonders for us. He went and made his note. He's on the board, and he said it would be fixed. And I'm sure it's got weak areas in it still because they need 4 bus drivers. But we went from no bus drivers for several days for the lack of people that could drive them and what have you. And like I said, there was 3 sitting out there this afternoon, and one day last week I seen 3 pull up to school and 1 went down the road. So to go from no buses to 4, I praise them for what they've done, Dallas and the school board. So if they keep that moving forward, it's going to be great. But our kids need to get there rather than parents have to take them to school every day. All righty. Teresa's not here. Tell me what time it is.
No. Let's make a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Before I call the roll, thank everybody for coming out tonight. Appreciate your time and efforts for coming out. And call the roll, please.
Allie.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Randall. And Tony. Teresa's absent.